Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's time for another edition of Colt Schnero Chat, a Tuesday edition. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined, per usual, by Robbie. And today we are going to be discussing as much as we can over the next half an hour, roughly. We're going to be talking all about a huge result in the top four race at the Benito Villamarina on Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me. Real Betis 1, Atletico Madrid 3. Crisis over, Robbie. That's it. This is the Atletico we've been looking to see, right?
Yeah, it would appear that way, and I don't know if the results are going to continue, but again, coming back to it's become almost like my slogan at this stage, but it just seems to make that little bit more sense for at the moment, and I think that the players, you can see that in how they're approaching it, and the continuity for the likes of Joe Felix and that, makes it that bit more coherent. So yeah, beating Betis, and obviously the result against United, and then who did they play after the United game? They bet
After United, that's a good question. I'll have to double check that. But Atletico of Cádiz coming up on Friday. That's the next game. Hmm. Then the trip to Old Trafford. Google is not working. It is. Oh, it's Rayo, Robbie. It's at Vallecas.
Oh yeah. Oh no, sorry. What I meant was like the results. So they bet the turn of this kind of good run of form was against Manchester United, and then they went out and beat Osasuna. Oh, sorry, that was Osasuna before that. They bet.
They drew with United.
Drew United, bet Celta, and bet Atletico. Bet Real Betis. Yeah, we're going. What a confusing start. Okay. So the crisis is over. They drew with United in probably their best display of the season at that point. Went out then, kept a clean sheet, and scored two against Celta Vigo, and a very good Celta Vigo team at that. An improving Celta Vigo team at that. Clean sheet, two goals, and then they went out against Betis and put together another really good performance, despite the injuries, despite the kind of pretty rough first half with the two injuries and being pegged back level right at the end of the first half, and they came back and responded with a pretty solid display, I would say. And yeah, it does seem like the crisis is over for now anyway.
The first half against Betis was really poor, and that was kind of a reversion to the Atletico we've seen for most of this season, most recently last month. The early goal from Joao Felix, who we will talk a bunch about in the next few minutes here. The early goal, Atletico then sit back and absorb a bunch of pressure. Betis continue to push and push and push, and then finally get a gift at the end of the first half, and it's... You know, it's a movie that we've seen a bunch of times this year, but Atletico responded. Now, Betis, like Atletico, dealing with injuries, dealing with fatigue. They did have a cup semifinal on Thursday, so a really quick turnaround, and Pellegrini did make several changes to his lineup. But Atletico capitalized, and Atletico responded with force and a well-executed counterattacking game plan in the second half on their way to this huge victory. Three consecutive wins. And they now have not only the head-to-head, but a two-point gap over Betis, 4 points clear of Real Sociedad, and six clear of Villarreal. Villarreal are so weird. They have the second largest goal difference in the league, and they're seventh. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and it feels like it's going to be work for them to get into the top four. Now that Barcelona are looking much better, Atletico seem to have fixed a lot of their problems, and yeah, Sevilla and Real Madrid are pretty nailed on. So it was always going to be a tough task for them, and And I suppose that's what separates the elite teams from the teams that lack depth, that lack that little bit of talent. As we get into the business end now, it's just so hard to keep it going for a full year. And Villarreal had a really good burst, and they'll probably continue to come good, but once Atletico get out in front, as the table stands now, it probably is how it will look at the end of the season.
Yeah, it certainly does look that way. The order of the teams may change, specifically with Sevilla, whose place in second doesn't strike me as secure as it was a few weeks ago. But yeah, the top four as it stands right now, it could very well be what it looks like at the end of the season, but we don't know. We've seen Atletico have several false dawns this year. This is perhaps the most consistent run of form the Colchoneros have had this season, but there's still a long way to go. João Felix, Robbie, speaking of good form and stringing some good performances together, according to the Opta Jose Twitter account, João Felix has scored 6 goals with his last 9 shots on target in all competitions for Atletico, as many goals as he had scored for his previous 28 shots on target. He got 2 more against Betis on Sunday, a proper star performance, would you say?
Yeah, definitely, and he looks like a man that just is refreshed and looks a little bit more secure in his place on the team. Before, we were watching him, and he was playing like a guy who was looking over his shoulder. He was finding it hard to work his way into games, and he was trying to kind of force things. Every time he touched the ball, he was taking too long on it, whereas now he's just using his wits to he's using that little bit of kind of lack of pressure to work himself into games and to find his rhythm and to pop up in different places. But yeah, so he's been excellent. But at the same time, like, it's kind of mad how we all just assume that a guy not that anyone ever thought that João Felix had lost it per se, but we were wondering, like, and you do start to question whether or not he was as good as the price tag would suggest, and whether Atletico had kind of had been sold a pup by Benfica. But then you see some of the things he's done, even during his worst spells of form, and he does have something special, and I think we're seeing that now. And it might be a little bit of luck with that kind of a return on shooting, but it'll probably settle somewhere in between from what we had seen, which was pretty awful, let's be honest, and to now, where he just seems to be hitting the net all the time, hitting the back of the net all the time. But at the same time, it does feel like Simeone has unlocked something with the formation he's playing too. And when you said that they were poor in the first half on Sunday, I agree with that, but they also had to suffer. They had to replace Simon Rosalco and
Correa,
Angel Correa, and adjust on the fly. And you could see Simeone at one point in the first half when he brought on Carrasco, I think, and he was like, we're going 5-4-1.
Yep.
And So you take Correa out of that, out of the front two, and immediately Betis, it means that Betis can build that little bit easier because you don't have the two forwards pressing you. And it also meant that Atletico weren't as good on the counter because Llorente had to sit back at right back, and Griezmann went on the right of midfield, and he was just trying to kind of feel his way into the game. He hasn't played in a while, so they actually did. They kind of tried their best in the end of that first half, and Betis really did take control. But again, I don't know how they're going to play against United and how they're going to play going forward. But it's kind of nice to see Griezmann in that role, because I think he can play that if he has to. He can play there if he has to, on the right of midfield, doing all the work that. Okay, he's probably not as fast or powerful a runner as Llorente, but he will do the work. He's willing to work hard from the right of midfield, and he also adds something going forward too. So it'll be interesting to see if Simeone kind of thinks about that one. But it will also mean Atletico don't have a second forward, and I don't know how you're just trying to kind of plug holes then, making sure that the formation and the tactics and the system stays the same. or not stays the same, but stays as secure as it has looked in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Not having Kondogbia either was really harmful in the first half, because Atletico lost that extra body in midfield. They lost that pivot, that anchor who could win the ball back and distribute it quickly when Llorente had to move to right back with Frasalco's injury. And speaking of Griezmann, I did want to talk about him, so that's a pretty good segue into his performance on Sunday. He raises this team's ceiling quite a bit if he's fit and if he's firing, which he hasn't been for most of this season due to the readaptation, the injury he had. He made four tackles on Sunday. Did a whole bunch of running, seven tackles and interceptions total, which was the second highest total on the team. And the assist for Lemar on the third goal, woof, what a run this was to just bully Victor Ruiz and then hit a no-look, wrong-footed pass. It was a right-footed pass when Griezmann's left-footed, to the running Lemar. Super chemistry and super determination and strength to set up that goal. He adds so much, Robbie, and of course, since he was here once before, we had the chance to talk about him many times over the years during his first stint, but he was gone for a couple years, and in games like this, when the team needs his running and his defensive contribution that has often been overlooked throughout his career, he just adds so much when he is available and when he is locked in.
Yeah, definitely, but it comes back to the point about how everyone seems to look that little bit sharper and fresher in a functioning team. Even Jan Oblak is starting to look better. And the problem had been the structure, the system, and even the mistake by Herrera for Real Betis' goal. Like, that was the kind of thing that would have completely sunk Atletico before. And I know, but that's kind of, you kind of have to accept that with Herrera, but yeah, I mean, Griezmann, like, we were all doubting these guys, and doubting them, I guess, we were talking about them individually, but what we were doubting was whether or not they all worked together in a team, whether Simeone knew how to get the best out of them as a team, because strength and depth is obviously something that every manager wants, and every fan base would like to see, but at the same time, like, strength and depth with the wrong personalities and the wrong blend, and it can turn into what we saw, which was chopping and changing, which was continual change and rotations that made sense some days and didn't against other opposition. And whereas when you've got a functioning team and just kind of put players in and out of the team based off what's needed, but without changing the structure too much, which is what Atletico should be doing, because they're one of the best teams in world football. Like, and so they need to be proactive, or they need to be the ones setting the tone in terms of how they're going to play, rather than going out and deciding, well, we're playing Levante this week, so we're going to play in a 3-5-2, and all of a sudden it just doesn't make any sense. So I think that now that Atletico have refound, we'll say, their identity, with a structure that seems to make sense, it's just liberated all the players, and that will include Griezmann as well, most of the attackers that have been struggling throughout the year.
The first half was really reactive, and the second half was a lot more proactive. Even as Atletico ended up with around 36% possession, the second half showed a much clearer and expertly executed counterattacking plan. And what I really thought was interesting, Robbie, is how Simeone used Joao Felix in this game. He kind of used him as the tip of the spear, not a guy who often dropped deep and looked to outmuscle the opposing center back and kind of drip centrally, pick up the ball there and start a move centrally. He was finishing these moves. Both of his goals were pretty simple tap-ins, created with the support of runners like Llorente, runners like Correa, Versalco, DePaul, who fed that through ball to Llorente for the second goal. I thought that was really interesting that Simeone kind of used him as a poacher rather than a Griezmann type who would drop deep and start and kind of link plays together closer to like a false nine or a 10 hybrid. In this game, he used him as really the point of attack. I likened it to building an attack for Joao Felix, not necessarily around him.
Yeah, and for him to be popping up in the right positions, like we spoke before in the pod about how he used to be playing out on the wing, getting the ball with his back to goal and being chopped down, whereas now we see right. him, and I mean, even anecdotally, you watch the game and you can see he's picking the ball up in more central areas, getting a chance to run at teams, and when he gets the ball with his back to goal, he's nearly waiting for the contact, whereas now he's getting the ball and he can see ahead of him and he can kind of dodge tackles and dribble by players and create from there. And that's what I was saying about the tactics making sense. So Lodi on the wing was kind of moving up and down the wing and he was safe to do so because Reinaldo had his back, and as he'd push forward on the left, Joao Felix would kind of drift into the middle and find spaces to pick up the ball from there and do damage. And it just makes sense. It's starting to make sense, and it is nice to watch because Joao Felix is playing like a player with he does have a little bit of an edge to him, and not in a physical way, but he's got a little bit of an attitude, and I suppose maybe that's part of what held him back a lot of the time at the start of his Atletico career. But you also don't want to take that away from a player either. So he's still got that, and he's showing it now with his performances when he's within the team, the team as a maybe not a leader by vocal leader, but in terms of performances, he's been. You've got Joao Felix on your team. Use him and mm-hmm. show him off. Like let him do damage and let him be himself. And I think for a while he was probably felt a bit constrained and stuff like that, and probably felt like he didn't have the backing of Simeone. But in recent weeks, we've seen that, as you said, it's an attack built for Joao Felix, and maybe Simeone has been swayed by. Maybe out of necessity, given the fact that Atletico weren't playing well, but also out of by just his performances against Man United. He went out, no nonsense, scored with a header, and just from there, that was lift off, and it's been steadily going up ever since.
He's got 4 goals, 2 assists in the past 6 between La Liga and the Champions League. And yeah, this is the guy that we've been hoping to see. This is the guy for whom Atletico paid 126 million euros to Benfica nearly 3 years ago. And he's only played 39% of the available minutes in La Liga this season due to injury, suspension, and just not being preferred by the coach. But now it seems that there may be a change in that dynamic. The headline I read in Marca on Monday morning was Real Madrid and Barcelona are seeking un crack mundial, a world superstar. Atletico already have one. So Marca are conducting the hype train at the moment, and you know, you take that for what it's worth, but this is probably the strongest sustained performance or stretch of form that Joao has had in the past 2.5 years. At the start of last season, he had a run of form that was a lot like this before the ankle injuries returned, but we'll see if it continues. One of the stats I really like looking at on Football Reference is team success, like points per match, the number of goals scored when a particular player is on the pitch, the number of goals conceded when a particular player is on the pitch. And Reinaldo caught my eye for how Atletico have performed when he's been out there in just 6 games, Robbie. Atletico are averaging 2 points per match when Reinaldo plays. That's the second highest total on the team. And they've only conceded 5 times in his 473 minutes. In Hector Herrera's minutes, Hector Herrera's 610 minutes, Atletico have conceded only 5 goals. We talked about both these guys a little bit last week, but I think, and I want to know what you think about this as well. What have Reinaldo and Herrera added? Herrera had that mistake in the first half that was pretty costly for the Teo goal. But I think, have we been underselling Herrera's defensive contributions? And have we been underselling just how impactful Reinaldo would be shutting things down on the left-hand side and improving Atletico's defensive solidity?
Yeah, I've been thinking a bit about this in terms of... Well, the elephant in the room here is that Koke isn't playing.
Yeah.
And Atletico have improved since he's been gone. And you were saying there about Rodrigo, Atletico suffering in the first half, but I think that the dynamic midfield of Rodrigo, De Paul and Herrera isn't perfect, but it's you're way more dynamic and you're way more you can cover much more ground. It seems that they're able to press much better instead of Koke kind of plodding around. And like, it's sad to say that given how good of a servant he's been for Simeone and Atletico, but that's actually, it's not as much Reinildo, which is also coincides with the turn in form, but it's more that the midfield is more dynamic with Herrera and Condogbia, Rodrigo de Paul, or whoever it happens to be, and they just look more solid and they're harder to break down and just on that point, I was talking about like the reason why a manager like Simeone wouldn't like Hector Herrera is because he is a bit of a maverick. He's a very hard man to indoctrinate into a style. Like you as a coach, you want players who are willing to do whatever it takes and listen to you 100%. Koke is the epitome of that for Diego Simeone. He is like, I've seen him referred to as a soldier for Simeone and stuff like that.
Right.
And he's like his leader on the field. Wonderful, and that's great. You need those guys. That's wonderful. But there has to be a little bit of, I don't know, in Ireland we'd say a little bit of divilment in you, or a little bit of kind of willingness to break the mold, a willingness to kind of go off on your own and do something. Herrera's got that, and he will never lose that. And I think that's probably why Simeone never truly trusted him. And then that's partly because, and then we never really trusted him. The same with a player like, say, someone like even Condogbia has that kind of, it's not mischievous, like it's kind of like
it's kind of like a devil may care attitude.
Yeah, and a willingness to kind of go for it and take a chance and understand and appreciate the risk that you're taking. It doesn't work all the time, but at the same time, you have to have that little bit of unpredictability in your game, and Koke has struggled with that all his career, basically. Like he was never as creative as we thought he was going to be, and partly that was because Simeone drilled it into his head, and keep the ball, don't lose the ball, don't take a risk, and that's grand and that's fine when but you have to kind of think for yourself too and be like, okay, you can indoctrinate me only so far, but I will always have that in me. And Hector Herrera is a player that has that. He will never lose it. And I refer to it as being clumsy and that. And he is quite clumsy. But at the same time, that unpredictability can also win you games. It can't always be seen as a negative. So Koke, a wonderful soldier, but maybe too good of a soldier, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, and that kind of little bit of unpredictability is helping Atletico and making them a little bit more exciting to watch, making them a bit more harder to defend against, and it's been winning them games.
DePaul is kind of a player in a similar mold. He's got that kind of South American, Argentinian steel, but he melds it with a certain flair and a certain character and a certain combat mentality. That's what makes DePaul such a unique player, but one who can easily be miscast, as he has been throughout the year. But I thought DePaul had a really, really good game on Sunday, playing kind of in a center-right position in midfield. Koke's absence, I think, has really helped get more out of DePaul in a way that we haven't seen all year. Made a dozen recoveries, a bunch of progressive passes and dynamic passes. I'm trying to find the stats again right here. 8 completed passes into the final third, 6 progressive passes that were completed, and completed 80% of his passes in all. And that through ball to Llorente to create the second goal was just an absolute killer. Took out an entire line and a half of Betis's defense. And Atletico, I wrote about this yesterday in my goal breakdown, but Atletico caught Betis in transition, and DePaul made the absolute best decision to just fling that pass to Llorente. Can that be kind of a new connection for Llorente, with Trippier gone and that connection severed this season? Could DePaul and Llorente be kind of the new bromance on the right-hand side for Atleti?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's kind of what Simeone is doing, but that's I don't I think the problem with that is, and this is what I was saying before, is that in another podcast about that Rodrigo de Paul on the right of midfield isn't suited to that, because he's got, it takes away from what he does best. Playing him in a central role gives him way more freedom to do these kinds of things, and I think that's why he's been excelling recently, is because he's been playing a little bit more centrally. And Llorente, him on the right of midfield, that's Llorente's position. That's where Llorente is the best. And that's where he does most of his damage. Putting Llorente at right back or right wing back, you're taking something away, because he's, you're loading him with more defensive duties. Likewise with Rodrigo de Paul. So Sime Versalco worked perfectly there, as a right back slash right centre back, with Llorente slotting in when necessary, but not always, but also being able to push forward. That's Llorente's position, that right midfield position. And a lot of Atletico struggles can actually be explained by Llorente's absences this this year. Yep. Because Rodrigo de Paul has tried to play there, and that's not his position. So Llorente on the right is perfect. So yeah, and I think that if you play Griezmann there, if you have to put Llorente there and play Griezmann on the right, that works. But playing Llorente and Rodrigo de Paul on the right, I don't think it works. Rodrigo de Paul needs to be more central and given more, put in a place where he can be more combative and be more central, literally more central to the game. And letting Llorente go up and down the right is good. But yeah, so like, I don't know if I'm doing a good job of explaining that, but it's, I think when you, like, I know they seem like subtle changes, but they it completely changes the dynamic when you do move Rodrigo de Paul out to the right, or you do move Llorente back a position or forward a position, because it just it can make or break an individual performance, but also how the team functions. And I think by playing, sure, Rodrigo de Paul more centrally and Llorente on the right of midfield, it works better. So yeah, it can be a good duo if they're not loaded with too much defensive responsibility.
You think Koke, I think the answer is going to be yes, but Koke comes back into the 11 immediately once he's healthy. Whether that's Friday or not, we'll see. But should he be in the 11 upon his return? How difficult will it be to reintegrate him with Atletico playing so well without him?
I'm not entirely sure he does come into the 11, because Simeone is stubborn, and you have to be stubborn to make it this far. But he also heard the noise, and he saw the mistakes, and he saw how open Atletico were, and he heard the kind of rumors about his job and how safe his job was. And he's also seen, like the rest of us, their improvement since he's been out of the team. And the problem was, the main problem was, that central midfield, it wasn't dynamic enough. That has become a central tactic, a central part of this new look Atletico Madrid, which is Hector Herrera moving forward, or Condogbia, to press the ball carrier, to make it harder to build up against Atletico Madrid. Koke goes back in there, he's not getting up the field as quickly, he's not getting back down the field as quickly, and he's not taking the risks that Herrera and Condogbia are willing to take. He's not willing to play the kind of passes that they're willing to make. And I don't know if he does come back into this 11, because Simeone has to have seen that this is what's working. It worked against United, it worked again against Betis, and In the modern game, or in today's game, you need that ability to cover ground in the middle, that intensity. And Rodrigo de Paul brings it, Condogbia brings it, Herrera brings it. They're long rangy players, and they get around the field, and Koke just doesn't. So look, I don't know what Simeone is thinking, but maybe he's not going to drop Koke, but surely he's seen that the improvement has been partly because of that functioning midfield now, where they can press, they can cover, they can cover laterally, they can cover horizontally and or vertically, and while adding something going forward.
We shall see. Koke may or may not be back in the squad for Friday's game against Cadiz, which we're going to preview now briefly. We want to thank everyone on Twitter who submitted questions for us to answer today. Unfortunately, we're going to just run out of time. However, we're planning a special podcast on Thursday to answer all these questions, a special mailbag edition of Colchonero Narrow Chat. We're hoping to record that on Thursday. So don't despair. We'll get to your questions. But for now, Robbie, Atletico looking for, if you can believe it, a fourth consecutive win in La Liga on Friday at the Wanda Metropolitano against a relegation-threatened Cadiz. They've only won twice in 2022, four wins all season. New coach Sergio has made them a little bit better. They've had a bit more possession since the former Valladolid coach took over, and they're unbeaten in their past four with three clean sheets. But fact is, this is still got to be a win for Atletico at home with the form the team is currently in. Anything less than a win will be totally unacceptable.
Yeah, and when you look back at those results that Atletico have had, they've been against teams that like to have the ball, that like to press, that like to play an open game, like not so much Osasuna, but they do like to press. Man United, Celta Vigo, Real Betis, three teams that were kind of in a way made for Atletico Madrid to counter on. This is going to be an entirely different game, and this is where you would hope that the system and the structure holds, and that João Felix, Griezmann, hopefully Correa makes it. I'm not sure. I think he's just got they'll probably save him for the United game, but yeah. This is where you would hope that João Felix or Griezmann would come up and decide the game, even if it's not as smooth or as free-flowing as it has been for Atletico.
Yeah, the injuries are still a huge problem, and we're still waiting on news as to who might be available. Stefan Savic might return to the team, as it seems like his muscle injury was relatively minor. It seems like Savic might get back into the 11, be a pretty big addition for Atletico's improving defense. No word yet on who else may or may not be around for that game. My guess is they do rest Correa. Versalco probably won't play with his muscle injury, and it just makes sense to have as much in reserve as you can for Old Trafford while still focusing on trying to win this game. Cadiz are, I think they're 18th right now. Yeah, they're 18th right now, four wins all year. And yeah, this has got to be, as you said, this is a bit of a different opponent. They are probably going to cede possession to Atletico and dare Atleti to break them down rather than leave space on the counter, rather than play a higher line like Betis did. So it'll be definitely interesting, but Atletico need to win this for a whole host of reasons. Another Levante result, or a tight performance like we saw against Levante, Mallorca, Alaves earlier this year. Another performance like that would really send the Rojiblancos Blancos back to square one. And at this point in the season, they can't really afford that. Need to continue adding points and try to finish as high as you can in the table while preparing for United next week.
Yeah.
There you go. Succinct.
That's it.
Succinct analysis. That's our specialty.
I can't add any more to that.
Yeah, I love when I hit on every single point so it stops debate entirely. Love it. I think that'll do it for this edition of the show. Anything else you got?
Yeah, well, just as you cracked that joke, I didn't hear it because someone called me. Someone called me and I didn't hear your joke. But anyway, yeah, that's nothing else I want to add. No, it's been a kind of a crazy show. I had a kind of a fit of coughing there at one stage. I got confused at the start. Yeah, so we'll make it up on Thursday, I promise.
Yeah, the Thursday show is going to run so smoothly, you guys won't believe it. That'll
you
do
better
it.
Better be.
That'll do it for this edition of the show and my crap jokes. Robbie Dunn, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of the pod.
No problem. On Thursday, we promise.
Thursday it is. We're going to be doing a mailbag show then, and we will talk to you all then. Adios.
Thank you.